Hey everyone, so I'm back with another episode in our Halloween Countdown 2020. Thank you so much if you're listening again, and as always, if you're a new listener, I hope you enjoy. So this is part two of our Histories and Mysteries episode with Brianne. So I'm not going to do a huge long intro because if you listened to the one last week, you know what's coming. Be sure to check out my Instagram and Facebook pages after this episode so you can find out how you can win one of the two prize pack giveaways for Halloween.
Okay, so the next story is about an object called the Catskills Crone. This freaking story scares the shit out of me. I hate it.
Yeah, this is the worst one we've ever talked about.
Yeah. My niece likes to listen to this podcast, and I told her she's not allowed to listen to this one. So if you're listening, turn it off. if you listen with a child or you are prone to nightmares, you might want to skip this one. And like, I'm not just saying that to get listens or something. Brianne can vouch. It's actually terrifying.
This one makes, already just thinking about it now, makes my chest constrict.
It's seriously
really, really disturbing.
It physically affects me. I don't like it. So I'm going to show Brianne a picture of the object, and I want you to tell everyone your first impressions. So I'm sorry. These aren't your first impressions. You know what it looks like. You said your first impressions last time, but
I don't even need to see it. That's how much I remember this image.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's it's a, like a little wooden totem man with three rusty nails in each eye and a very tiny noose around his neck.
When you said three nails, like I immediately got nauseous.
Yeah, my from neck to stomach, really tight right now.
If I had balls, they would have fallen off. So this story, I believe, took place around 2016. Two friends went for a hike in the Catskills Mountains. For those not familiar, these are located in New York State. And I know you were sort of like, nope, Catskills,
No, Catskills, you're in witch country out there. Mm-hmm. You got to be careful.
So they were looking around some caves and came upon a strange figure. It is hand-carved. It's a statue of a woman. It had a stained noose around its neck and rusty nails hammered into its eyes. So here is part of the original social media post from one of the men. Last weekend, my friend and I went out hiking in the Catskills. And we found this creepy statue while fucking around in some caves. It had nails in its eyes and a noose around its neck. Looks like it might be old. I didn't think it had been there very long, but it's weird because the cave was way off the trail. Someone had a fire there not too long ago. The statue really wigged me out, but my buddy decided to take it home, even though I told him not to. And I hope everyone at home is screaming, no, don't take it home.
Yeah.
Everyone says there's devil worshippers that come out here to sacrifice animals and to do their spells and shit. So I didn't want anything to do with this thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, to put it lightly, if I was hiking with a friend and they were like, I think I'm going to touch it, even just touch it, I'd be like, I am out of here. I don't want to have contact with you until I know that you are clean of whatever the hell this thing is.
No, like, red flag one, you have a friend that likes to be a cave dweller. Red flag two, you have a friend that steals creepy statues. Hard pass.
Yeah, hard pass on those two things. That is your criteria for a friend.
Yeah.
No cave dwelling and no stealing or touching creepy objects. Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's the first part of the story that he posted. He goes on to talk about strange things that began occurring in his friend's home. This man who wrote the post says that his friend who took the statue is an atheist and not a believer in the paranormal, but he showed up at the poster's home trembling with fear. It was 11:30 at night and he refused to go back to his home. But what made him flee? This was his account. So it started out as hearing strange banging and knocking. Then he would wake up in the middle of the night and feel like someone was watching him. This continued every night. However, he started smelling the strong stench of pond water. That really like dries my throat completely when I think about that thing.
I actually want to die thinking
Yeah. Being that he doesn't believe in the paranormal, he wrote it off. But I think, how can you write it off? Then he noticed that the statue was not where he left it on his desk, but was in the living room. He thought maybe his dog was moving it around, but then he noticed his dog would not go near it. And she actually began to have accidents in the home as well. And I was just thinking, poor puppy.
Yeah, they know before we know.
They totally know.
Yeah.
Like, if I had some weird object and my cat looked at it and then ran, like, I'm going to run. getting the hell out of the house.
Taking the cat, we're out of here.
Yeah. Yeah. The night before he arrived on the poster's doorstep, someone knocked on his door at 3 a.m. He opened it and no one was there. He didn't see any cars driving away and his motion sensor lights were not on. He had an overwhelming feeling that he shouldn't have opened the door. He called the poster and told him that he was going to burn it, that he shouldn't have brought it home. So we had a discussion about burning things.
You never burn your haunted objects.
Never. It's like it releases whatever's in it. People think, oh, burning it, I'll destroy it. You don't. Yeah. It's like you destroy the vessel, but the thing inside is now out in the world.
We, in our previous conversation, you've heard us laugh about like how disturbed we are by Ouija and people who do. Same thing. You cannot open the circle.
Don't.
And as soon as you invite them in, that's one thing. I was like, do you know how to tell them to get out? No, none of us do. So now they're earthbound.
Yeah. Thanks.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks. Just like the mirror. Like, don't break it. That's not going to do anything. Oh, probably God. Just release what's inside, right? So he stayed up for the rest of the night and went out the following day. That night, he said when he got home, it actually felt really calm in the house. He went to bed and woke up at 10 p.m. with his dog barking like crazy. The musty pond water smell was intense. And when he went into the hallway, there were muddy, bare footprints all over the floor. The statue was in the living room again, not where it had been left. And when he went near it, he heard heavy breathing, which he described as sounding like his grandfather with the tracheotomy.
Oh.
Yeah. Brianne's clutching her chest.
So bad.
It was at this point he grabbed his dog and he fled for his friend's house. Now, the last part of the social media post was asking people for help. If anyone knew what they could do to fix the problem and sever this attachment. So, and now enter the people from the Paranormal and Occult Museum. So, like I said before, I'll explain a little bit more about them, but it sounds really awesome. Though I never want to go because I'm terrified of ever coming face to face with the crone or the dark mirror for that matter. They actually travel around and they do pop-up exhibits, which is a really cool idea. And totally. Like I said in the previous one, you have to sign a waiver if you are going to touch anything because you can get an attachment from something. But definitely I will post their information on the blog. It's really interesting to look at the other objects they have. But I will say that the crone is the only object they do not allow people to touch because it's that bad.
Yeah.
So anyways, this is a husband and wife curator team. They saw this post on Reddit about this and suggested that they return it to the place they found it and apologize to whoever or whatever they had taken it from. I want to note too that they said they heavily warn against people burning things. This could make it worse. So like we said. Now the owner also told them that if they were too scared, that the museum would take the object, they would store it and study it safely. Which I think is really nice.
Yeah.
And I think it also shows that they weren't just looking for an object because they were telling them you can return it there if you feel safe to.
They're like the orphanage of spooky. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. People too scared, send your shit to them. So now in this article that I read, it includes the original email that was sent back to them. So I will read that right now. Today, we went back to my friend's house to get the statue and return it. When we got there, I saw the muddy footprints he was talking about, and the whole place smelled like a dog that had just rolled around in the dirt. His dog wouldn't even come in the house. He went to show me where the statue was when he left last night, but it was gone.
Oh,
I know. When we found it, it was in the hallway and there was a big crack in the wall, like it had been thrown there. We did what you said and explained that we were sorry about taking it and that we wanted to give it back to the cave and asked it what we should do. I don't know if it was the feeling you're talking about, but we both just felt like we should never go back to that cave again. He said that he felt like we needed to send it to you. When we were standing there in the hallway talking to this thing, his dog started barking like crazy outside. And when we went to see what was going on, we both thought we saw a woman standing in the dark corner of his living room.
Oh,
I know. I'm like looking around me.
Do I have enough lights on in here? Holy shit.
She was totally naked, really old and dripping with water. Her eyes sort of glowed in the dark.
Oh.
She was hunched over near his shelves. Like, I have goosebumps. I hate this. We both freaked out and ran outside, and this was the middle of the day. Whoever it was wasn't there when we went back in. We grabbed the statue, apologized again, wrapped it in a pillowcase, put it in a box, and we're going to send it to you.
Okay.
Horrific. Like, just not even...
Old swamp lady. So I'm guessing she drowned?
Oh.
Oh, no.
Don't you worry about that.
We'll find out.
So the object found its way to the museum headquarters. So one thing I'll point out is museum headquarters is this man and wife's house.
No.
So they have like a room where they lock all their stuff. That's like their office.
Christ.
So strange things started happening for them immediately. They said that once they looked at the statue, you know, took some photos and some initial notes, there were some strange things they noticed about it. The carving was weathered and aged, as well as the nails, but the noose was not more than a year old. The carving was obviously placed in the cave recently with the new addition of a noose. So I read in another article that a medium, and I believe it was sort of with some work with this husband and wife team, had sensed that this was something used upon to call this entity, that it is not a woman, it is not human, it's an entity.
Yeah.
And that this was used to call upon that and was probably used many different times for many different rituals and curses even.
Gross.
Yes.
It hurts so bad in my chest right now.
I know.
I might be having a stroke.
We're almost done, I promise. Now, the museum has many different scary and strange objects. So once the initial photos and observations were made, like I said, it was locked in the office and then they left to do errands and stuff because for them, they're kind of desensitized, right? They're just like, oh, okay, great, cool. So that evening they were in the living room watching a movie. They heard a commotion in the office and thinking it was a fight between their cats, they went to check. But the cats were actually cowering under a bed in the next room and the door was locked still.
Oh.
Nothing seemed out of order until he stepped on Jesus.
Jesus.
Yes. On the floor was the figure of Christ that was usually hanging from the crucifix on the wall that was directly opposite the crone. He was missing an arm.
No.
I know. I was like, this part's going to really mess you up. He was missing an arm, and when they looked up at the cross, it was still hanging there. There was the missing arm still on the cross. So what did that? They say they have also never found the nails from his feet and hands.
Oh.
So that is terrifying. I'm going to show you a picture because they posted a picture of what they found.
This is, oh...
Like, that can't just randomly happen. The cross is still on the wall. It didn't fall.
Oh.
I know.
The most bothersome thing you've ever done.
That I've ever done to you. I'm sorry. They also did experience the swamp water smell, wet footprints in the home. And they do this thing where they say sort of like if an item that they get is sort of misbehaving and causing chaos, they'll sort of warn it and say, listen, if you don't stop, we are going to lock you. They have these like lock box things. We'll basically put you in timeout. So they had threatened it, and then something else happened. I think a TV almost fell on the one guy, on the husband's head. And so the crone is now locked in the box, and they do bring it out sometimes to some of the exhibits, not all the time, because people report feeling intense fear and anxiety, which I'm feeling now, not even seeing it, like just hearing the story. And people also feel a burning sensation in their eyes. So yeah, I literally feel terrible. How do you feel? That is the end of the story, so at least we can be relieved.
That, if you're just listening, you haven't looked at the photos, you have to look at the photos.
Mm-hmm.
And if you ever wonder if there's like good and evil, or like a hell and a heaven, I was like, this is a story that'll tell you that.
And you know what? Like, oh. I think Annabelle, like the real Annabelle doll, I feel like is evil and scares the crap out of me. I feel like there are other evil objects, but I feel like
a demon for sure.
I feel like I've never had a problem talking about them. Like I could share the story and be like, oh my gosh, it's so creepy. I don't know if maybe it's because I'm desensitized because you see them in the movies and stuff.
Yeah.
But this one, I've never ever had a physical reaction to a story. Like I hate it so much. I never want to hear it again.
My back feels like so inflamed. I'm like, ooh. Mm-hmm.
I know. I need like a cleansing, like yoga relaxation after this, because I feel like there's just, even the story is just, it's evil.
So this couple just keeps all these items.
Oh yeah.
Who's in the will? Who gets all this shit? Like what happens to all this spooky shit later?
I don't know.
If I was their children, I'd be like, sorry, mom and dad.
Yeah.
I am out.
No, I'm taking poor one armed Jesus and we're leaving.
Yeah. I became a nun. Sorry. Mm-hmm.
I don't like this stuff. Yeah. So next let's talk about Anna Baker's wedding dress. So have you heard of this?
No.
Okay. In the mid 1800s, there was a very wealthy man named Elias Baker who commissioned the building of a luxurious mansion, which he called Baker Mansion. I love how people like way back when they built some massive ass house and they named it after themselves.
Yeah.
I miss
that's
that.
Ego
I
done
that.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Ego done right.
If anyone out there wants to build me the real scary mansion, I will take it. As long as there's nothing haunted in there. But
skulls.
Yeah. I actually want it to be very peaceful. Yeah.
Or your cat just jumped up, scared the shit out of me.
He was a very, very proud and sometimes domineering head of household. His second daughter, Anna, fell in love with a man who worked as a steel worker for Elias's company. Elias would not allow the union to go further. He was below her station and her father forbade a relationship.
Mm-hmm.
Anna was stubborn and had never cared much for expensive things. All she cared about was love. Anna, I know.
Bless.
Yeah. Anna refused to marry anyone else. If she couldn't marry the love of her life, she wouldn't marry anyone. Her bitterness and anger towards her father grew, and she passed away in 1914, a single woman, which for that time is like pretty crazy, especially being a socialite and high up. So Anna had actually chosen a wedding dress that she had dreamed of wearing to marry this man. However, another woman from high society ended up purchasing it and wearing it and even gloating in front of Anna.
Oh.
So, because she knew it was her dream dress, everyone knew. And they knew that she would never marry in it. What a bitch. Years later, the historical society that had acquired the dress donated it to the Baker Museum. And that's where it remains today in Anna's bedroom. So the dress is in a glass case. And I'm going to show you a picture of it right now.
Oh, cute.
Right? Yeah. So it's in like a glass enclosure.
Beautiful. Yeah.
Okay. So this dress has gotten a reputation of being one of the most haunted objects in the world.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Many claim to see the dress swaying from side to side inside of its case. And they describe it as like, as if someone put it on and is sort of like swaying in front of a mirror, watching like how it moves.
Precious.
And especially on full moons, which is interesting. So apparently there have also been sightings of a young woman dressed in the gown dancing around the museum. So of course, researchers have looked into drafts and if, you know, floorboards are loose that could be moving something. And of course, nothing has been discovered. There's only one instance that's been reported on multiple times that one day the dress was seen moving so violently that staff were actually scared that it was going to break the glass.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. I did see another article that there have been some other incidents of note in the museum, like people claim to see a woman in heavy black dress going up the stairs. And this is believed by many to be Hetty, who is Anna's mother. And Elias has also supposedly been seen around there.
So they're all still in the house.
Mm-hmm. So her dad is usually spotted in the dining room, and supposedly people have also spotted spirits in the mirrors around the house.
No thanks.
I don't like that.
Yeah, I don't like that.
Mm-mm. Okay, so the last thing I want to talk about is an unsolved mystery. So I wanted to throw one in there.
We need it. Yeah.
And this one's so weird and I've never heard it before. So this is the strange story of Netta Fornario. Have you ever heard of this?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I had never heard even an inkling of this. It's very weird. So her real name was Marie Emily Fornario, 33 years old and a known occultist. So this was 1920s, and being an occultist was popular, and, you know, lots of people were dabbling in this area. So she was a member of the Alpha A Omega Temple, and she was very interested in fairies. So Netta heard of an island in Scotland called Iona, and there's like some Scottish terms in here, and I will probably butcher it.
Canadian, sorry.
Yeah. So it's believed that this is a spot where the veil separating our world with the spiritual world is the thinnest, and describes an area around Loch Stownegg as a place where fairies roam free. So Netta arrived here in 1929 and took up lodging with a family who noticed that she was quite strange, but pleasant enough, but weird. So, which is how people describe me, I think. Pleasant enough, but weird.
She's nice, but we're not sure.
She would go into trance-like states where she would mutter to herself. And she claimed that this was her way of receiving messages from beyond the veil. Kind of reminds me of Mary Venom.
Oh, yes.
Oh.
I love that.
Yes. And Netta sent a strange message back home one day to her housekeeper, telling her that she had serious healing to do and would be staying indefinitely. One Sunday, however, in mid-November, the woman Netta was staying with noticed that she was frantic and she seemed terrified. She was packing her things and told her that she had to leave at once, that someone was attacking her psychically from a distance.
Oh.
Yeah. So this concept during the time was pretty common for an occultist. Psychic attacks were much like curses, and there were actually a lot of books written on it at the time, and an acquaintance of hers had actually written a book about how to defend yourself a bit against psychic attacks. So kind of interesting.
Mm-hmm.
So she had told her that she saw a rudderless boat flying across the sky. Her host, yeah. Her host also noticed that Netta's jewelry had all turned black overnight, her silver jewelry.
Oh.
Yeah. Which I did look up, and it can happen. There's like a bunch of like sort of health things that can happen, or it could be from like sea air or different things like that.
Yeah.
But I don't know if it could have happened that quickly. I'm not sure. So her host family explained to her that the ferry wouldn't come because it was a Sunday. Netta was frantic and she waited at the dock for a while anyway. She came back later and appeared to be more calm. She said she changed her mind and she would be staying. She unpacked and then went out for a walk. So she often went out for long walks, so they didn't think that was that weird. The next day, however, they found that Netta had not come back. They searched for her, but to no avail. It wasn't until the next afternoon that two men discovered her body on a hillside near Loch Stownegg. This is where things get very weird. Netta was unclothed except for a cross necklace and a black cloak. She was lying on top of a cross that had been cut into the earth. She had a knife in her hand, or some say right beside her, and they were believed that she cut the cross herself and then laid on it. Some reports say that there were tiny cuts on her feet. Some say that there were tiny cuts all over her. But most say that they were on her feet, like she'd been running.
Yeah.
So there are reports about letters being found also that were strange and made no sense to detectives working on the case. But the letters have long since been lost and no one knows what the contents were. So now something that spooked the police and the townspeople was the proximity to a fairy mound. The location as well was a place that locals would have been frightened to go at night because of the belief that fairies were common in this area. Okay, so basically first I'll say a fairy mound, for those who don't know, is basically like a hill or remains of a stone circle or old foundation, stuff like that. So I will put an image up on the blog. I forgot to give one to you.
Oh, it's all good.
But the next thing that some might be thinking, like I said, is fairies. So why were people so scared? So in many cultures, fairies can for sure be a source of fear and mischief, definitely mischief. There are many different kinds of fairies and some are more sinister than others. For anyone out there who watches Outlander, do you watch Outlander?
No, but everyone says I'm going to love it. It's very sexual, I hear.
If you watch Outlander, you might recollect the talk of fairies in season one. It's believed that fairies could take a child and replace it with a changeling. So this would be their own child taking the place of a human child. And usually this was because, like, if a baby was born and wasn't thriving and was sickly, their excuse was this must be a changeling. And then they would leave the baby in a place where the fairies could basically come get their child again. They weren't going to be tricked. And this is something that people really believed. People would apparently also...
So their baby would die?
Yeah, they'd just leave them. Yep.
Sorry, got it.
Sad, yeah.
Very sad.
So people would apparently walk with sticks at night in certain areas for fear that fairies would come and they'd need to fight them off. And also they come in many different forms, like considered like gnomes, basically, things like that, not just like a little flying fairy. So there are many more legends and superstitions and stuff. It's super interesting. So tip to everyone out there, if you're interested, look it up. It's really, really cool. So anyway, the official death certificate cited that she died sometime between the 17th and 19th. They couldn't pinpoint a time of death. There were no obvious signs of foul play, and it was concluded that she died of exposure.
Brutal.
What I was thinking, though, about exposure was I'm thinking, usually, it, like, in my mind, I think that means a person dies from, like...
the elements?
Yeah, and from, like, okay, they're lost in the woods for, like, 10 days or something. So the definition is that the person dies from a lack of protection against extreme conditions, usually temperature-related. So for me, like I said, when I heard exposure, I was thinking that she would have had to be out for a long time. Like, how could she not just go back to the house? But if you think about it, I guess if she was only wearing a cloak, hypothermia could have happened.
Totally.
And maybe she just laid down and had one of those trances. She wouldn't have known, right? So there were a few witnesses in town who saw some strange things in the area. More than one spoke of a strange blue light emanating from the area at the time she would have been over there. And others say that they saw a strange man dressed in a long black cloak. So in the end, this is sad. Her family were not interested in claiming her body. And the locals pooled their money to buy her a plot at their cemetery. So she remains actually buried there. So what do you think of that?
That one is not that settling either, to be honest. I don't know. There's definitely something in those cultures with, like, the fairies and their fairy mounds.
Mm-hmm.
I remember we were only in, like, Iceland for a couple of days, but they're like, we build our highways around fairy mounds.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they're still so superstitious.
Yeah. And I think it's weird they couldn't pinpoint a time of death.
Yeah. And, like, she wasn't gone that long.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess if it's the winter, it's that cold, but I'm like, I don't know. her being naked in a cloak and who's the old man in the cloak.
Yeah.
That the people in the town saw.
A lot of people, you know, talk about mental illness, that she probably yeah. had a mental illness and maybe, for sure. and just needed help, right? But it's so sad because you'll never know, right? But it's sad that her family didn't want yeah. anything to do with her body. That's really sad.
People viewed mental health so differently.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever this was, yeah.
Absolutely.
Okay, so that is all for this episode. So thank you so much again to Brianne for joining us again. It has been such a strange year, and I was really hoping we'd be able to do one more episode together. So I'm going to try to squeeze in one more Histories and Mysteries this year. If you have not checked out Brianne's amazing photography, please check it out. She is so talented. I will have links to all of her social media on my website. You can also check out briannemarie.photo. So if you would like to shoot me an email, please do so at realscarypodcast@gmail.com. I've been getting some listeners just dropping a line to say hello. I've also been getting some listener submissions and stories. So I'm actually planning on doing a follow-up episode with some of our past locations. And in that episode, I'm also going to be including some of the listener submissions that we've been getting. So if you have something that you would like me to share or you'd be okay with me sharing, please drop me a line and share that story. Don't forget to follow me on Instagram and Facebook, both at Real Scary Podcast. You'll want to check out those pages today to see how you can enter one of the Halloween prize packs. So be sure to check it out because there's only one more time to enter to win. The draw for this will be happening at 9 o'clock p.m. Mountain Standard Time on Halloween. Until next time, this is your friendly neighborhood host, Elise.